Hello, hello, this is Mushtar FM 89.6 and you are listening to our radio. This is spring and we are really happy to welcome you in our cultural podcast. I'm your host, Nata, and today with me in studio there are Maria, Sabina and Mario, our new volunteer. Please, guys, say something.
Hello, Nata.
Hello, everyone. And today is a very good day. Today is International Women's Day. And it's really good that we are having our podcast on this day. So it's a really special edition of this podcast.
Hi, everyone. I'm Mario.
Yeah, we're happy to invite you here. And the topic for today's cultural show is idioms and maybe also sayings. I think this is really interesting topic because here in the studio, there are speakers of different languages. Guys, what language you will be responsible for today?
It's funny that I am responsible for it, but yes, I am responsible for Spanish because I am Spanish.
And I'm responsible of English idioms. And today I will explain some meanings of the idioms and we will guess a couple of the meanings for some of them.
I'm Italian idioms. I'm responsible for Italian idioms.
Great, great. I will be speaking about Russian ones. And also, today we will have two online friends who are joining us through the voice messages. And these are our previous volunteer, Hudaifa from Morocco. He's speaking one of the dialects of Arabic, and he will speak a bit Arabic for us. And also our friend from one of the youth exchanges from Turkey, Alperen. He will bring a few Turkish idioms.
Hello, everyone. My name is Alperen. I'll be representing Turkish today. I'll tell them in Turkish first and then the literal translations in English.
Let's start, guys. Can you in general say that you use idioms in your everyday life?
Well, definitely. Not like in my everyday speech, but you know, when you discuss a particular situation that happened, you can use an idiom. And I usually use it both in English and in Russian, in my mother tongue. So, yeah.
For me, in Spanish, I use them all the time. And I always use them wrong because I've been in Hungary for a year. So for me, it's like I mix the prepositions in Spanish and I mix everything. So my sister laughs at me saying that I'm not a true Spanish anymore. But I'm trying. When I go back to Spain, I will improve. But in English, I try because your level of English is supposed to be really good if you use idioms. So I try to learn as many as I can.
In Italian, we have a lot of the new idioms. But me, personally, I don't use them.
Actually, maybe you use them, but you don't notice. Because yeah. I think they're so naturally included into language. And I have something to say to you, Maria, is that, yeah, it is a sign that you speak language at a proficient level if you use idioms. But I so much dislike idioms in English. Like, I never remember what they mean. I never remember which article to use inside. So I really hope that Sabina brought us today something which I can learn for future. Because my English is just idiomless. Do you usually understand idioms in other people's speech when you both speak your mother language, but they use some idiom? Do you sometimes encounter a situation that you don't understand what they say?
For me, in Spanish, for example, if it's a person from another region of Spain, maybe the idiom changes, like a word maybe, but the meaning is the same. Or maybe it's a total different one that I'm just like, what is this person saying? Like, I try to understand, but it's like, because of the context, maybe I can guess. But sometimes, depending on the region, it's different. So I'm like, oh, I don't know what you're saying.
Well, as for me, in Russian, usually the idiom sounds so funny and usually I understand them completely. And sometimes it just sounds old-fashioned and you make fun of it, you know, that you use them in our mother tongue. But in English, it sounds, I think, when you want to say something precise in a short way, you use this idiom and your partner understands you very well. That's what I feel.
Mm-hmm. I see. Actually, I didn't think, but now you mentioned, and I agree that Russian idioms are really old-fashioned from the periods of like
Soviet times, I guess.
And even before, when people were working on the ground. And
they're very poetic. I think. I know one. I don't know if you guys are going to talk about it today. I think no. But it's like standing out like a white crow. You have this one? Or did I make it up?
Yeah. We're gonna speak about this.
Okay, so I know some of them because they sound really nice and I just memorize them for fun.
Can you say them in Russian?
Nem.
Okay, we prepared for you today a comparison of same idioms in our languages. Three of us are going to speak a lot. And also, I mean, Spanish, Russian and English. And also you will hear a few in Arabic, Turkish and Italian. Let's go with the first one. Maybe I can suggest for English one to take the lead because it's easier to understand for everyone.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so the first idiom we will talk about is when pigs fly. Basically, we use this expression to say that, well, something will never happen. Like it will happen when pigs fly. So in an imaginary world that doesn't exist, basically. So how would that sound in Spanish?
In Spanish, it's funny because we have the exact same thing. I don't know who copied who in this case. Maybe we copied the English. I don't know. But we have cuando los cerdos vuelen.
And it means when pigs fly?
Yeah, exactly. Word by word. Yeah.
Even in plural. Not one pig, but many pigs.
Many pigs, many pigs.
Ooh, boring.
Boring is the same thing. Terrible. But in Ruski, it must be funnier. Okay, tell me in Ruski.
Yeah, okay, in Ruski, there are a few. Okay, we will start with the chill one. And this is after rain on Thursday. После дождичка в четверг. Which means after rain on Thursday. I don't know, like rain can happen on Thursday, but it still means never. Or like really long after this moment. I don't know, we sometimes use it like maybe a bit after, but not never. But for never, we have the best one. And this is когда рак на горе свистнет, which means that when a cancer will be whistling on a mountain.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay,
you see?
Okay, I am shocked. Okay, so cancer as in the illness or as in like a goat?
An animal, like, an animal.
An animal, okay. And what type of animal is it exactly?
Rak.
It's a rak? Cancer. Do you know the shape of cancer?
It's a crab.
No.
Yeah, it's kind of a crab, yeah.
Yeah, I think someone Russian told me that it was like a different thing. I remember now.
It's also a zodiac sign in the shape of a crab. And it's really funny because it's literally says when a crab will fall down the mountain or will roll down the mountain, yeah, right? So that's basically the same as when pigs fly, so we can draw a comparison because we also have an animal here, a kind of an animal. So probably.
Yeah, but the Thursday one I still don't understand. Because the crab I understand because it is unlikely that it will be in a mountain and it will fall down. But on Thursday, why cannot it not rain? Like,
to be honest,
it doesn't make sense to me, I don't know.
Are you sure that it is in Russian? This дождичка в четверг.
Well, we use this. Maybe it's kind of like,
I think it's Belarusian because I've never ever heard
that.
Wow. Okay, so we have a Belarusian one. Okay.
I mean, it is in Russian, but it's used on the territory of Belarus. Okay, interesting. Okay.
Yeah, because дождичка, we don't use it in Russian for sure. I think it's Belarusian.
We love variety here, yes.
Yeah. We can consider both. Why not? But it sounds really interesting.
In Italian, it's a little different. It's quando piove non si bagna terra. And it means when it's rain and not get wet on the ground.
Wow.
And it's a bit different, but it means the same.
Mm-hmm. And now let's vote which one is most unlikely. When pigs fly, when rock is whistling on a mountain, or when it is dry on the ground after a rain. Because which is more never than never? Hmm?
I will say like the Italian one. Because you can find a crab and throw it on the mountain. It can happen. But if it rains and it doesn't get wet, that's like witchery.
Yeah. And you can take your pick in your flight. Tell us, how is it in Turkish?
Çıkmaz ayın son çarşambası. The last Wednesday of the month that never comes.
Let's proceed. And the next one will be, as far as I understand, about a lot of money, right?
Yeah. So the next one is expression. It costs an arm and a leg. And in English, this idiom means to be very, very expensive. And you know, I looked it up, why something very expensive costs an arm and a leg, you know, that's really interesting. And then I found out that this term originates from America after World War II, because during the war, many servicemen lost arms and legs, and therefore the price of the war was an arm and a leg. And that's why right now we use this phrase to say that something is like very, very expensive. So it was a high price to anyone to pay for that. That's why you basically have this phrase now. What about Spanish?
In Spanish, we actually have two of them. Maybe there are even more. But the two that I could remember are cuesta un riñón and cuesta un ojo de la cara. cuesta un riñón means that it costs a kidney. Because like kidneys are like being sold.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know, it's logical. And the other one means literally like it costs an eye from the face. I don't know why we have to clarify that it's from the face, but we clarify. So yeah, it's the same thing. It's like, oh, if it costs a kidney, like I would have to sell my kidney in order to buy this because it's very expensive.
In Italy, it was the same, the kidney. Costa un rena was the same of the kidney.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. As for Russian, I was thinking of them. I don't think that we have like one really vivid, but we have a few which are not so idiomatic. So, for example, стоит целое состояние. It means that it costs a fortune. It's not exactly idiomatic, I would say. Also, we have стоит бешеных денег. So, it costs crazy money, which where crazy is the amount of like a lot. Also, partially idiomatic. And yeah, sometimes we say nowadays that it's worth selling your kidney. И почку отдать не жалко. But I wouldn't say that it's like traditional idiom. Sabino, how do you feel this in Russian? Do you use these three phrases or other ones?
Yeah, стоит целое состояние, стоит бешеных денег. Yeah, I wouldn't say that this is an idiom because you can understand the meaning just without even thinking. И почку отдать не жалко. But this is a very rare phrase, but стоит целое состояние, yeah, we use it quite a lot. That's true.
And let's listen how it will be in Arabic.
In our Moroccan dialects, we say Al-Baqra Ubinta, which means a cow and its daughter.
All right, now let's get to the next one. So, a bird in hand is worth two in the bush. That's a long phrase, and it means that it's better to keep something you have than try to get something better and risk having nothing at all, basically. I think if you look at this idiom at first, you can somehow get the meaning, right? So it's not that hard, I guess.
Yeah, it's logical. Like in Spanish, it's a little bit different, but like the meaning is the same. In Spanish, is más vale pájaro en mano que ciento volando, which means it is better to have one bird in your hand rather than 100 flying.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
it's not in the bush, but they're flying, you know?
Yeah.
So it's the same thing.
Continuing the topic of birds, but again, transferring it just a little bit. In Russian, we say лучше синица в руках, чем журавль в небе. And синица and журавль, these are two particular types of birds. So we're not saying one is better than 100 there or one is better than two there. We say that this one, which is a small one, синица, a teat in your hands, is better than a crane, журавль, in the sky. So small one, which you have, is better than big one there. What about Italian?
Yeah, I think in Italian we don't have this idiom, actually. That's sad, but don't have.
I think actually that this is not an idiom.
I think would the similar is a pigeon with one stone is was the similar. It's me was the similar, but it's not the similar.
Does it mean that you'd better keep what you have instead of dreaming about?
She was better than one was the similar.
Mm-hmm. Because for me, this is not an idiom. For me, it's a saying. And actually, for me, this saying is a bit like toxic for modern world because it says you not to dream about more than you can have. Do you agree? It says that don't fight for something better. Don't fight for better life.
No, for me, this idiom doesn't say that. It just says that if you have something, don't try to get more than you can actually have. Not because you shouldn't dream about more, but because you should not be too ambitious sometimes. Like if you have already one thing, why do you need more? It's just because you're greedy. That's the word, greedy. Mm.
Maybe because you have in Spanish 100 of them.
Yeah, yeah.
But in Russian, it's like you have a small, simple bird, but you could have a really beautiful one, which is there somewhere up, but you should not want it. So for me, it's a bit like never strive for better life.
Wow, just got deep. Judging idioms.
I think that maybe this particular idiom comes from the Soviet times when, you know, everyone was kind of on the same level and not striving for something more, you know. Because for me, in English, this idiom sounds like not in the sense of you shouldn't try to be successful or to be ambitious. It's about value what you have and not be careless about what you have. So don't risk what you have because of something else. So for me, it sounds like that.
Mm-hmm.
But in Russian, I agree. It sounds a bit different.
Interesting, interesting. And in Arabic, it will be
Remish walalama, which means eye boogers better than blindless.
All right, and next idiom is to break a leg. So this is a very typical English idiom, and it's usually used in the context of theater or other types of performing arts, basically to wish someone good luck. So there is kind of an uncertain origin of this idiom, but probably it has some theatrical origin that you have to make the best out of your performance, like to break a leg or to be regarded as a good performer. I don't know. What do you think?
Just for me, it was always contradictory in English. Like, it's a bad, actually, wish. Why should it mean luck?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me, I was thinking the same thing. Like, you're wishing for something unfortunate to happen to the other person. In Spanish, it's actually the same. But it's not like, I mean, we say break a leg also in Spanish because we copied it from English. But the one that we usually say, like theater people say, is a lot of poop. I mean, I'm not going to say the curse word, but we just say a lot of poop. And then the person goes, don't ask me why. I don't know. Theater people are like that. But yeah, you just wish on a person to have a lot of poop.
How is it in Spanish?
Mucha peep.
Okay, you're really a good girl today. What about Italian?
In Italian is the same of Spanish, because we copied on England. And it's mi sono rotto una gamba. And it was the same of the Spanish. I cannot say the bad word.
No, you cannot.
Mi sono rotto una gamba, beep. And,
okay. Interesting. Why they associate it with this bad word?
Russian will be a bit different, and it will mean that no fluff, no...
Maybe we can associate it with dust also. Like, do you know this fluff that comes from some plants, you know?
From plants?
Yeah.
Fluff.
Yeah. So there are some
cotton?
Plants? Cotton. Yeah.
Okay. I was like, fluff? Okay, fluffy.
Actually, yeah, it can be translated differently, but from what I see now, it's ni puha, ni pera, no fluff, no feathers. I don't know why it is so. But that's what we say, like, for you not to have anything of this. So it's actually like a positive wish, not like break a leg. But there is one negative thing about this idiom in Russian is that when you say to someone and they really want to have this luck, they really mean that they need it, then they need to say something in return. And what they say is к черту, and it means to devil, go to hell. And like, it's not nice. But if they say it in, you say them, ни пуха, ни пера, and they answer, к черту, so they will for sure have this luck. If they don't, maybe they will, maybe not, but if they say, for sure. But I remember when I was first grade, and we were saying to the graduate of my school, ни пуха, ни пера, when they were graduating, they told us, small kids, к черту. I was shocked. So
but
it's not
funny.
Nice.
You were afraid,
like,
maybe.
It's like, I will go to hell to get the fluff. It's funny, I don't know.
You know, to be honest, I never understood this phrase in Russian. Like, I also first came across it when I took my state exams, when finishing my high school. And I was like, why the hell should I say to the devil? You know, like, it was so weird. And I never liked this phrase. Like, my mom told me that and I was like, okay. You know, something like this.
Yeah, actually, you mentioned when you first hear something or when you take these idioms from your parents and your neighborhood, your environment, it is always funny because first you don't understand as a kid, but then they just go so naturally. I really liked when my mom was telling me new and new idioms. I really adored them. That's why we have this podcast now, because it's so funny to listen to them in your language. Let's proceed with the next one, because it will be about really close friends, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And the phrase is to be as thick as thieves. And it basically means to be very close friends with someone and share secrets and basically to spend most of the time together. And I was actually thinking, why as thieves, you know, because they are friends and it's kind of an opposite. Why as thieves? But I also looked it up and it says that, so for example, when thieves do something, let's say, I don't know, rob a bank or commit a crime, they are at a fair that can be compared with close friends because they are kind of, you know, at a fair as well, and they sometimes do something that is not lawful. I mean, they share secrets with each other. So basically, maybe that's why it's thieves. And what about Spanish? Does it sound the same?
No, in Spanish, we don't have thieves. We have uña y carne, which means nail and meat. So basically, it's like the nail that is attached to your fingers. So it's that close, you know, like it's literally inside of, you know, that's why it's very graphic. You can see it and you can understand why. And it's the same meaning.
It should be similar in Italian. It should be.
Yeah, that's the same. Anello al dito was the same.
Okay, then I will bring you to balance this inequality. I will bring you two from Russian. One of them is «не разлей вода». You can say that they are «не разлей вода». It means that water cannot split them. Tell us how is it in Turkish.
«Aralarından su sızmamak», which would be «not leaking any water between them».
And the second one is «два сапога пара». I would say it's not totally that they are really close friends. I thought of the third one, okay. But «два сапога пара», I wouldn't say that it means that they are two good friends, but it means that they are two people which share something, maybe some negative characteristic, or maybe they both like are not diligent enough at their work or study. So they are both at some funny business. Something like.
Yeah, so they have one similar feature, usually is not very positive, and that's why they usually say, well, they are like a pair of shoes. You know, it literally means a pair of shoes.
Yeah. Next one, the third one, actually we have the third, which is really to say that it is your best friend. And it is закадычный друг. Best friend, закадычный друг. So if you are two both friends, if they are both friends, закадычные друзья. It means friends behind the Adam's apple. Why? Can you guess?
No, not really. Behind the Adam's apple, I don't know. They want the same thing, maybe?
No. Ideas? No. So it goes from how you drink alcohol, because you take it here. But I don't know exactly why it get the meaning now of best friends. Because, yeah, in the beginning, it were friends who drink together. But now,
not necessarily.
You can say that you are such friends, even if you don't drink, like if you're just sharing your hobbies and stuff.
I think they don't understand. You have to explain what is kadık. Kadık is this bone in your neck, which means
Adam's
that...
Apple, yeah.
Yeah. So... So, yeah, basically meaning that a friend that you usually drink with. You got the meaning, right?
Now it's
clear. Okay, then it's fine. But I just want to add that this закадычный друг, I don't know in Belarusian, but in Russian usually it's almost never used. Because закадычный друг is usually used when like there are two alcoholics and they say, oh, he's my закадычный друг.
Okay. We use it as close friends.
Really?
Not every day, of course, but it has neutral meaning.
Yeah, for me, when you talked about like the two people who are close, but they share one characteristic and that's usually bad, I just came up with one in Spanish that I remember that is from my region. I don't think the whole of Spain says this one, only like my region. And it is dos patas pa un banco. Basically means like two benches legs. So it's a bench with two legs.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, well, these two people, you know, we have chosen two legs of a bench. So they're like the same, you know, the same bad.
Yeah.
Here we have stab someone in the back. It's also an idiom, but I think the meaning is quite understandable because it means basically to betray someone, to stab someone in the back. For example, it was very competitive with everyone stabbing everyone else in the back. How does it sound in Spanish?
In Spanish, there's no magic behind it. It's just the exact same translation. And it is apuñalar por la espalda.
So like to kick someone from back?
No, it's like stabbing someone on the back. It's like the literal meaning, so it's not interesting, no.
No, come on.
In Italy, it's a little bit different. It's friends, and they steal your bike. Amici, e poi ti rubano la bici in italiano. And it's mean they betrayed you.
In Russian, it is also connected to back because someone is doing something to you when you don't know. So it's really a betrayal. It sounds like «вонзить нож в спину». Yeah, it's to put a knife to your back when you don't expect it. It's terrible.
Yeah, the best one is the bike one.
Now we're voting again.
All right, and the next phrase means that something is super easy to complete or to do. It sounds, that's a piece of cake. or it's like shooting fish in a barrel, which is, I think, kind of two completely different phrases, but they mean the same thing. And it's really interesting why it is so, but there are some idioms that you cannot explain. And most of them, I think, originate from American English, but we don't know. We don't know the exact meaning, but we just have to remember that it means that, mm-hmm. I think.
I knew about the first one, but the second one for me was absolutely new and not understandable before, like, Maria told me that these have the same meaning. In Russian, there are some similar. For example, easier than easy. It's not so idiomatic, and it sounds like проще простого. A bit more idiomatic is проще пареной репы, and it means easier than boiled turnip. This vegetable, boiled, I don't know why. Is it easy to boil it? Maybe. Yeah, and also we have one more. It sounds like расплюнуть, and it means to spit once. So it's easier than to spit once.
To spit?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For me, spitting is difficult, so I don't know why. In Spanish, is pan comido, which means bread eaten. So it's like as easy as to eat bread.
Oh.
So, yeah.
I like the Spanish one more. But you know, I just found out why, like the origins of saying shooting fish in a barrel. And it says that prior to the modern times of refrigeration, fish were packed and stored in large barrels. And these barrels were packed to the rim full of fish. And any shot that entered the barrel would be guaranteed to hit at least one of them. And this why, in this case, nothing would be easier than shooting fish in a barrel. That's why we have this phrase.
Is there something in Italian?
In Italian is was the same of the Spanish. Facile come spezzare il pane. Easy to breaking a bread. I'm sorry. And was the same of the Spanish.
But luckily we have also Arabic one.
فحال الماء, which means like water, to indicate that something is very easy.
And Turkish one.
Çocuk oyuncağı, which is a kid's toy.
Now let's talk about the phrase, don't cry over spilt milk. I think this phrase is very, very common because we use it quite a lot. And it basically means there's no point to be upset over something that has already happened and it's in the past and it cannot be changed. So there is no use of crying over spilled milk. And I think this phrase is commonly used because there are so many situations that we might regret we did in the past and so on. And this phrase is just so precise to say that don't worry, something happened and it's in the past and you don't have to be upset.
When you said the meaning, I understood that what I brought in Russian is a bit different. It sounds like слезами горю не поможешь. It means that your tears will not help the problem. Mm-hmm. It's not about not regretting the past, but that's the only analog I could find.
I mean, yeah, I think it's similar.
How does it sound in other languages?
Başını taştan taşa vurmak, which would be hitting your head from a rock to another rock.
In Spanish, we have a lo hecho pecho, which means literally like to what you've done chest, but it's just because it rhymes. But it's basically like you've done it, so just own it. Like there's nothing you can do about it.
Mm-hmm. Still a new connotation.
In Italian, non piange sull'alto versato. It was the same of the English. Is the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think in Russian it has a little bit different, but still the same meaning. Saying that don't cry, don't be upset, because it doesn't matter anymore. You know, so it basically has the same meaning. Okay, and there's one more interesting idiom, and it says a blessing in disguise, which is, I think, also a very mysterious phrase, which means something bad happened and eventually it turned out good in the end, which is really weird, but sometimes it really happens because maybe in some situations when we are very emotional and something happened and we think it's too bad, it's like the end of the world, but then the circumstances turned out the way that it happened for the better, you know?
Yeah, in Spanish, I think it's the exact same meaning, and it is no hay mal que por bien no venga, and it means there's no bad that doesn't come because something good is coming. So it's like essentially it's the same thing.
Interesting. In Russian, there is one нет худа без добра. There is no bad without good, but I don't know. I'm dissatisfied with this one, so I brought more to prove our Russian pessimisticness. So one will be vice versa. So if you have a lot of good things, there will be necessarily one bad thing. It sounds like ложка дегтя в бочке меда. So in the barrel of honey, there will be one spoon of tar. It's some plant, really not tasty thing. Also, we have сгорел сарай, гори и хата. It means that, so if one of your buildings in your territory got into fire, so I don't care anymore, let my full house burn also. Because small wow. problem, okay, let it be bigger, I don't care. Also, we have топонос, то золотуха. It's also a negative one. I really like how many negative we have. It means that you will have either diarrhea or other sickness, and they will alter one another. Sorry, it's not the same meaning as blessing in disguise, but...
And they're all, like, bad meanings, like, wow.
But I think, you know, that in modern Russian, only «нет худа без добра» is used, and maybe sometimes «ложка дегтя в бочке меда». But I think the rest of them, to be honest, I haven't heard, and I think it comes from maybe it's very old-fashioned or probably is not used. Maybe it's Belarusian as well. Because these words are very... Maybe some words that are used in when you live in a village, I don't know, something like that.
In Belarus, when we are speaking Russian, we use them rarely, but sometimes we do. Thank you guys for bringing all these interesting idioms. And now I suggest you to practice our feeling of language because we were provided a few synonymic ones. And now I will ask you to bring some interesting ones from your language for us to guess what they mean. Who can start, girls?
Let's start from something easy, something not very difficult. So the first phrase I want you to guess sounds like bite off more than I can chew. What do you think it means?
Okay, I think I know it, but if some people want to try to guess.
Does it mean some difficult task which is still inside your capabilities?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's related to a difficult task, yes.
But not,
Do you want me to try to guess or?
Yeah.
Okay, for me, I think what I think it means is that don't try to take up more than you can actually do or more than exceeds your capabilities.
So a bit still different. Okay.
Yeah, and this is very, very interesting because this phrase dates back to 1800s in America, where it was really common to practice to chew tobacco. And people would offer others to bite a bite of their tobacco block, and some would greedily take a bite bigger than they would chew. And people began to notice this. The to bite more than you can chew, you can use to take up a task that you cannot handle, basically.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I suggest you now guess one Russian, and it is уйти, не солоно хлебавши. Хлебать is a verb like eating, but like really badly. So you are not eating enough, you are not eating food of enough quality. And уйти, не солоно хлебавши literally means to leave the place after eating saltless food. What does it mean?
I mean, it seems like you already gave us the answer, but it's probably not the answer, no?
It's not the answer.
Okay.
How often do you say that you left the place without eating salt?
Without eating salt? Like maybe you left a task unfinished?
No. No, really far.
I mean, yeah, Sabina cannot try, so it's only Mario and me who have to guess.
To be honest, I myself have not heard of this phrase, so I'm not trying to understand.
Okay. It is old-fashioned, yeah, but we use it.
So it's like leaving a place without salt.
No, we don't use it at all.
Leaving a place without salt.
Without eating there some food which contains salt.
But it's, I think it's a phrase, a very colloquial that comes from like very, very...
Yeah, it comes from very long ago and I have an explanation for you. So when you give up trying, I can tell you.
Okay, last one and then you can explain if I'm wrong. Like when you go somewhere and you're not ready?
No.
Okay, so you give the explanation, I'm never gonna guess.
Okay, it's when you leave some place disappointed and you were not given anything. So you leave... With your arms empty. You didn't get anything from there.
Now I understand. I think we have similar things in Spanish. Yeah. I understand.
And this is from the times when salt was really expensive and the owner of the house was putting salt to the place of his guests himself. But first were the most important guests and least important guests were in the end. And sometimes till the end there was no salt anymore and they just eat saltless food and then they leave. And if you were served a dish without salt, it means that you're not an important guest and you're not really welcomed.
Wow. I have one in Spanish that is very funny, so I want to see what your guesses would be. So it is quedarse para vestir santos. The translation would be to stay to dress the saints. So what do you think that means?
First, let's decide, can Mario guess? Is it same in Italian or not?
It's not the same. I didn't understand you, actually.
Okay.
What do you say? I can guess.
Maybe it means like to butter someone up or like to...
Nice.
Them.
I think it's about, so in the house you have a small place where you put the image of God. And sometimes this place is also associated to like your dead relatives. You can put their like ashes there or something. And when you leave the house, the person who lives the last one should have, I don't know, say like pray. So you stay for praying.
That's very elaborate. No, it is religious. It is a religious thing, quote unquote, but it's not that direction.
Okay, then tell us.
Is it to live to have luck or something?
It could be related to luck, more or less. But I mean, if you give up, yeah. I will say it. So it's basically when women do not get married. They are spinsters, let's say. They are usually the ones who go to the church and dress the statues of the saints. That's usually their job because they have nothing to do. They have no husband. This is very old, okay? No husband, no children. So it means nothing that you're going to stay single forever. So for example, me, I would say, yes, me voy a quedar para vestir santos. Like, I'm going to stay single forever.
Interesting.
Wow. How does it sound in English again?
It's like to stay to dress the saints.
Oh. Okay, in Italy, we have good as bread, buono come il pane, and it's not old-fashioned. Mm-hmm.
But can it be used just to say that something is good, or person is good, or day was good?
Yeah, the person, that's person, that's good heart.
Uh-huh, the kind person. Why yeah. as bread?
Because...
bread is good.
In Italy, the bread, that's good to eat. And yeah. we say good as bread because for us, bread, that's good.
Makes sense, yes. And to eat it is easy, as we already know.
All right, I've prepared for you one more phrase. And it sounds, Bob's your uncle.
I have to say I've never heard this one, so I can try to guess.
It comes from British English. Bob's your uncle.
I think I've heard it somewhere, so you try to guess first.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it just sounds like, I don't know, Bob's your uncle.
Who is Bob?
Good question.
Yeah, why Bob?
Maybe, like, you should know the answer?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, something like this. Mm-hmm. It's similar, but not exactly the same, so it means... And there it is. There you go.
Voila. Like,
yeah,
okay.
Voila. Voila. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, for example, to make a cup of mint tea, boil a kettle, add a tea bag, wait 2 minutes, and Bob's your uncle. And voila.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I will use it from now on. I think it's interesting.
Okay, it will be easy to guess. Spać bez задніх ног. It will be easy to guess, but still the like direct translation is really funny. It means to sleep without your back legs. As if you have like front legs and back legs. You don't, but you can sleep without your back legs. What it means?
Do you want to try?
With no legs?
With no legs. To sleep with no back legs. I think it could be like to sleep uncomfortably.
No, vice versa.
Oh, so it's vice versa. Okay, so you just said it, no?
Yeah, it's to sleep very well. Maybe it's because, like, you spend a lot of energy and now you're sleeping just as if you're killed.
But that's why no bag legs?
No idea, frankly speaking. I didn't check.
Okay. Nice, nice. In Spanish, I mean, there are so many of them. I could be here all day. But, for example, there's one that is el pito del sereno. I just think it's hilarious because sereno is a person, like a guard, let's say, a night guard. And the translation would be the sereno's whistle, like the guard's whistle. Like taking someone like the guard's whistle.
Is it not asking someone to spread information?
Them. This one is very Spanish, so I don't know if they would have it in Italian. Maybe not. I don't know.
Maybe it refers to gossips or something like that?
No.
So the guard's whistle.
Like taking someone as if they were the guard whistling, more or less. Like it's hard to translate, but something like that.
Maybe to pretend that they can control others while they cannot do that?
Them.
To ignore someone's precautions?
Yes, I think that's close enough. So I'm just going to explain it. It is very funny to me. I heard it once. It's something that old people say because it's something that happened. Serenos were a thing back in the day. And basically it means someone ignores what we say or doesn't think that we have the authority, so they do whatever they want. That's basically the meaning. So it's because in like the 1750s, like a long time ago in Spain, they had this figure that were the serenos, these night guards, and they were supposed to control the streets during the night to see that everything was right. And I think at like 12, they whistled and people had to go home. But we're Spanish, so people didn't go home at 12 sometimes. So that's why it's like, yeah, don't take me as the whistles, the guard whistles, like take me seriously, you know? So it's funny. Oh.
Nice, nice.
Interesting.
In Salian, i frutti proibiti sono i più buoni. That means forbidden fruit is the sweetest.
Yeah, we have the same, so the meaning is clear.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's the same in Spanish. I think it's, but it's very nice. How is it in Ruski?
Запретный плод сладок. Yeah, I think it goes from Bible.
Yeah, it's probably a religious thing. Yeah, all of us is like the religious, the Catholic thing or like the Christian thing. So mm-hmm. Yeah, should be the same.
Okay, so now let's think of what to kick the bucket means. To kick
the
bucket.
It, I think.
Okay.
I think I know too.
Mario, to kick the bucket?
Actually, I don't know.
Okay, but if you know the meaning, do you know the origin? Where it comes from? Maybe you have a guess why to kick the bucket actually means.
I can imagine why.
I think for the same reason as bucket list.
Bucket list could be.
Yeah.
But I mean, kick the bucket, I would assume that it's like when people back in the day were hanged.
Yes.
So the last thing they do when they go up is kick the thing that they have underneath.
Yes, exactly.
Wow. Yeah, in Spanish we have estirar la pata, which means to stretch your leg. Like a dog.
We also have the ноги протянуть.
But bucket list, why? Yeah, why do you think it's related? Because it's the things you should do before you kick the bucket? okay, yeah, maybe it's from there. That would be smart.
All right.
Okay, next one, Ruski.
Okay, let's go with танцевать от печки. You know, in the old houses, there was kind of oven, kind of bake. But the old-fashioned one, not the new one where everything is electricity. And so the old one where you put your cake and it's really big, which heats the whole house. So it literally means to dance from this oven.
From inside of the oven?
No, from or like, near it.
Aha, near. To be rich.
Why?
Because if you have that oven, you must be rich. Oh, maybe to take advantage of something?
No. Okay, to give you a hint, we can say that, oh, you're only capable of dancing from this oven.
You're only capable of doing something if you have help or someone guiding you.
Okay, you are getting a bit closer, but still it's far, so I'm telling you, okay?
Okay, okay.
It means to start only from the beginning. So you're not able to start some job from the middle. For example, if your student is learning like days of the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then you ask what was Thursday, and they cannot tell you because they only can start from the first one and finish with the last one. Or when I was playing piano, my teacher was telling this to me. That's how I found out, because I could only able to play this song from beginning, not from the place she wanted me to play, because I only learned it by heart. So she was saying, and actually this idiom is really old-fashioned. It's rarely used, but still sometimes. And this is from one of the books where one of the characters was taking dance classes. And, you know, in old houses of ordinary people, the rooms were not really big. And he was starting to dance really difficult movements. So he started from the oven and then moved to the other side of the room.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I like it. I like how precise it is. I have a lot of religious ones, so let's just go with the religious ones because they're
That's
funny.
Cool.
There's one that is, donde Cristo perdió el mechero o la chancla, which means where Christ lost his lighter or his flip-flop.
Christ.
Depending on the region is one thing or the other, but I have heard it with the lighter most.
Somewhere far away, maybe where you have never been, or some island where there are no people.
I mean, yeah, I'm going to say that it's correct. It's not like an island, but it's like somewhere that is very far. That is like, oh, yes, where Cristo perdió el mechero. Like, I'm not going to go to, it's so far, you know, like it's far. And like, maybe people don't know about the location. Like, it's kind of remote as well.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of unknown. Yeah, could be.
Okay, we have similar in Russian too. За три девять земель is originates from fairy tales. There was like три девятое царство. I don't know why. It's like third of nine. And also we have у чорта на куличиках, which I adore. It means like at the devil's place, eating buns or kind of sweets. So it's really far.
Mm. Or the Australians would say in whoop whoop.
Actually, I just thought of one really funny Russian idiom that I would like to talk about. Because, you know, there are some idioms. I think that in Russian, we mostly talk about idioms that are basically not used in everyday speech. But there is one that I hear quite a lot and I just thought of it. So in Russian, it says, ни рыба, ни мясо. So, nor fish, neither meat. So what do you think it is?
Okay, it's interesting. Nor fish, nor meat.
Yeah. So what
vegetarian.
Do we, yeah, so what do we describe?
So saying, it's something in particular.
It's something like descriptive.
Saying,
so for
it's
example.
It's not like saying, no, this is vague.
No.
No, it's like something.
No, it can be vague. Yeah, but why would you use this phrase? And in related to what? Related to what or who?
In Italy, we use that for example, if you were in late. On
for an appointment or
yeah,
mm-hmm.
If you need late appointment. But I don't know if it's the same.
But how does it sound in Italian?
Vai a pescare che sei fatto tardi. It's mean I don't know how to explain actually.
Yeah, nor meat nor fish. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So basically, we use this phrase to describe a person. Usually we say it when we describe somebody's new boyfriend or that we don't like, for example, and you say, who is he? He's like nor meat nor fish, like he's primitive, like what he is, what can he do, you know, like he's nothing, nor meat nor fish.
He's nothing. He's nothing. But what? Why is he nothing? Like he could be anything you want, or is it like, no, he's just trash?
No, he's just trash because like he has not any characteristics, maybe.
Ah, it's like he's nothing special.
He's nothing special. Nor meat nor fish.
Ah.
Because, you know, in Russia, you... why we bring up the notion of food here? Because in a Russian play, there should be always something protein, like a meat or fish or something else, you know? So when you say he's neither meat nor fish, like what is on the plate? Nothing, you know?
It's interesting that for me, it's not only about like boyfriends, but yeah, mainly about people. Sometimes about something, not people, but mainly people. And I know that there is a continuation. Ни рыба, ни мясо, ни кафтан, ни ряса. It's about different types of like hoodies, but really old-fashioned. So the second part died out because It's about clothes which we don't wear anymore.
And it would be too long.
Actually, I have never heard of the second part either.
Okay, now at least we know that Italian and Spanish ones are similar, sometimes like 40%. And we also know that Russian ones are used more or less frequent on different territories. Well, it makes sense. And on Belarus, like, yeah, these ones I brought were more, and in Russian, less. Okay, can I give you one more?
Yes, and I want to give you another one after that.
An easy to guess one. So without any Caesar in his or her head.
Caesar?
Like a king, but the Russian king, you know, tsar.
Ah, the tsar, yeah.
Без царя в голове.
So no tsar in his head?
In his head.
I don't know, it reminds me now of my mind that lives rent-free. Like, no tsar in his mind. Mind or head? Or
head.
Head.
So no brain?
And what does it mean, no brain? Everyone has brain.
Like a stupid person?
Yeah, it is so. It's true.
Wow, nice, that's
good.
Nice.
That's good.
Good job. Marichu?
Yeah, I'm just thinking about that one still. It's like there is no one to rein your brain, so you must be stupid, no? Or something, okay, yeah. So, yeah, Sabina said one about food earlier, so I want to go back to food. And I don't know if this one you know already, but I will say it, and if you know it, then we can go to another one. And it is, vete a freír espárragos. Go fry asparagus.
No, I don't know. So, I don't like you, please, like, get out of me?
It is similar. I don't know, maybe I should give it, like, say it's correct. It is, yeah, basically like, go somewhere. Like, go away from me.
Disappear.
Get away from me. Yeah, disappear. Go fry asparagus. Or it's like, go, we usually say also like, go to the mountains. You know, just go.
Do you have mountains in Spain?
Yes.
Okay, so it's not too far.
No, not too far. But, you know, it's like, yeah, because there are, this is usually from people who live in towns, in small towns, in rural areas. So it's like, yeah, go take a walk in the mountain and then come back, you know, and then we can talk.
In Italy, we have was the same. Go to that country. But go to that country, beep. I cannot say.
Okay. I see.
But it works in Italian every time.
I see. I cannot think of something in Russian for this. Only like the bad one, like go to hell. But this one, no. Okay, the last one from Russian will be распоясались. It is one word, but in English it would take more. It would mean that they took off their belts. What does it mean? You can use it with like kids or some people. So, oh, look, they took off their belts.
They've eaten too much?
No. Good logic.
They are running free. Like now they are like, yeah.
Yeah, really close.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I have one word on the tip of my tongue, but I cannot find it right now in my brain. Like, they have no worries, like, they're just free and...
No, more in the negative meaning.
A negative, no responsibilities.
No responsibilities, they went shameless and imprudent. It is negative meaning, but you can use it with children. So if you're, like, parent and you can say it about your children, it would mean that, yeah, they start to allow themselves too much. And it goes from the time when it was necessary for young men to wear belts because it was like how you should
proper.
Look proper. But then it came to fashion to take it off. And older generation would say that, look, they're shameless.
I can imagine the babushkas. I mean, like, oh my God.
Babushkas, yes.
Sabina, do you have more?
Yeah. So I've brought plenty of them, but we can probably talk about... To be as cool as a cucumber. What does it mean?
I think it implies that it's really cool. So I don't have any idea why it's cucumber or what content it should be used. But isn't it just super cool?
Or like chill?
Yeah.
Someone who is like very like serious or very calm, no?
Yeah. It means basically very calm, especially when it's surprising. So, you know, to have this Olympic calmness. You know, we have in Russian an expression, олимпийское спокойствие. It comes from like Roman Empire when people were so like strictly brought up that you would say they won't be like very emotional, like very like, you know, dumb, just very modest, very calm, you know, like as from Olympics, Olympia time. So very calm, especially when something surprising is happening. I don't know why cucumber in English, you know, I tried to find it, but I didn't find anything.
Maybe because it's like a C word, it's like cool cucumber, like maybe it's like, it sounds similar, I don't know.
Alliteration maybe, only the
maybe
alliteration.
It rhymes, that's why.
I never heard this in Russian, Olympic, олимпийское спокойствие. Frankly speaking.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not used that much, but it's used in literature, I think. I found it in literary studies. But if you say, everybody will understand you.
Okay.
Okay, and the last Spanish one I have for today is estar como una regadera, which means to be like a watering can. You know, the thing you use to water the plants.
So also very calm, maybe?
No.
Maybe to be negatively like, ordinary person without anything?
It is negative, but it's not that meaning.
To be useless? To not do your work?
Nem.
Or to always be the same? Like not to change?
Nem.
To be disappointing?
Maybe you gotta go a little bit out of the box. Is that an idiom, by the way? Maybe it is.
Something negative?
Mm-hmm.
Is it about people or?
People, yeah.
Can parents say it about their children?
Yeah, in a fun way. Yeah, funny way.
Give an example of situation.
For example, I mean, if I say the activity they're doing or like the manner they're acting, they're probably going to guess. But it's like someone doing something and then the person is like, oh, you are like a watering can.
You intervene my life, so you're disturbing?
Disturbing?
No.
I mean, you could be.
Can you make a sentence, like make an example with this phrase?
Okay, an example. Okay, let's say that you are eating... a crepe with mustard and, I don't know, chocolate. And I say, oh my God, you're like a watering can.
I got the link.
I mean, me as well, but I don't understand why it refers to the water, you know, for plant watering plants.
It's like not the water thing, but like the object itself. the watering can, the thing which you use to water. You are like that object.
And why is it weird?
Wait, it's totally normal. Do you want me to just give you the meaning?
Yeah, let's do that.
So we're doing weird stuff.
No, it's just to be crazy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it means you're crazy. Because when, I mean, the definition is very weird, like I still don't understand it a lot, but basically when someone, like the water can has like a hole and something falls from that hole, it means that your brain is not also good, like you're leaking. You know, we also say like, or you're missing a nail on your head. Like, you're not well done. You're crazy. Like, it's like, I don't know how to explain it. But basically, yeah, it means that someone is crazy.
It was so interesting. Thank you guys for bringing your examples. I really enjoyed this. I hope my English vocabulary will become wider. And I hope you enjoyed it also. It was Mushtar FM 89.6. And you are listening to Nata,
Maria,
Mario,
and Sabina.
See you next time.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye-bye.